Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's Freedom Hour. I am Paymal Motahede, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this weekly program. Every Thursday night, folks, at 7 p.m. Eastern, I conduct the Freedom Hour to educate you and empower you about important issues about the law and your rights and how to live free of oppressive taxation and control, exposing government lies and having you be free once again. Tonight, I'm presenting part 4 of a series on, is there a law that requires the average American to file and pay the federal income tax? And tonight I'll be focusing on the subject of whether if you are a small business owner or if you are a government employee, does it apply to you? So if you have not listened to the previous 3 parts, you need to do that because they build part 1, and 2 and 3, we talked about the basics of the IRS code, about wages and salaries. Does that apply to you? I talked about withholding from your paycheck, employers, company taking money out of your paycheck and sending it to the IRS. That was covered in part 2. And part 3 was on Social Security taxes. So part 4 is about you. Are you, as a small business owner, are you required to file income tax? How about a government employee? So if you have not been to our website, folks, at livefreenow.org, you want to go there, get our free freedom education package sent out to you, and you will get regular emails sent out to you once every 2 weeks to educate you about these very important issues that affect your rights, your freedom, your property, and your prosperity. As usual, folks, I tell all of you, always, do not believe anything that I say, the government says, or anybody else on the internet. You should look up and read the law for yourself, and I'll help you do that. Read the law for what it actually, not what someone else says, but what it actually says. Read it. If you can read and write plain English language, you can understand the law. It's not a bunch of mumbo-jumbo. I'll make it easy for you. This Internal Revenue Code, the IRS code, that's the IRS's Bible on taxes. I've gone through this thing, folks. I get the key parts for you that really matter, deciphered it for you. So you'll see the lies, and you'll see the truth for yourself. So get your computer out, whether it's a personal computer, laptop, tablet, smartphone, get it out. We are going to go in on a search on the internet, and we are going to go to government's own website, the House of Representatives. That is the United States House of Representatives. You know, that we vote for, we put them in office to represent us, we the people, in the U.S. government, and they hire the people in the executive branch. You know, they approve them of the leaders of them, I should say. So they make the laws, legislature. So we're going to go to the House of Representatives website, which is at house.gov. So begin computer up. Look at my screen now. I got here on the screen, as you see, 26 U.S.C., Section 61, house.gov. Now, I'm going to tell you what this is. If you have, again, so those of you are familiar with it, but I'm going to make sure you all know what it is, okay? There's 54 categories of federal law. They call it United States Code. 54 of these United States Codes as of now. And the abbreviation for that is USC. Now, Category 26 or Title 26 is on taxes. They call it their Internal Revenue Code. So when we type in, when you type in your computer, 26 space, USC space 61, you are looking for section 61 of Title 26 or Category 26 of the federal laws, United States Code. Now, if you've after that put House.gov, you're going to get the version that is published by the House of Representatives. If you don't put House.gov after these searches we do, you're going to get the one most likely from Cornell Law University, which is okay. But I would rather, when whatever possible, go to the government's own website directly. That way there's no mistaking that what we are getting is a law published by the government itself. So we put that in there now, 26 USC 61 House.gov. We're going to go search, put enter, and it comes up. 26 USC section 61, gross income defined. Okay, you notice it's from uscode.house.gov is a source. So you put the mouse on that and right, open that link in a new tab. And section 61 comes up, 26 USC 61 gross income defined. Now, I covered this already in part one of the series, okay? This section 61, gross income, because gross income is the basis of getting taxable income under section 63. So I'm not going to go through that part again because you should already know that. But know this, if you have not watched the other sections, this is the basis of taxable income is gross income. Okay, so when you go down, you see again, part, this is part of definition of gross income. See, it's all right there. And also in part one, you see taxable income is defined later under section 61. You go down to section 61 language, and here it is. Section 61, gross income defined. And under A, general definition, it says, except as otherwise provided in this subtitle. So there might be some places things are defined a little bit differently. Gross income means all income from whatever source derived, okay, including the following items. The words in parentheses, the but not limited to, are meaningless. Same thing goes with the headings. They don't have no legal binding at all. The language of the law itself has only binding. So the list here with the word including means this is it. Congress thought about all these things and they wrote things like, look at number one, compensation for services, including fees, commissions, fringe benefits, and similar items. Okay? So, I'm going to zoom out a little bit so you can see a little better, folks. Okay? So, and if you look further, like items four is interest, five is rent, six is royalties, seven dividends. I mean, the Congress thought about all these little items of income, you know. Very few Americans make their living off, for example, royalties, okay? You're not a Hollywood movie producer or some oil rig in your backyard that produces oil. Very few Americans make money off dividends. Very few make their living off fees or fringe benefits. But Congress thought about these things. And we cover the fact that salaries and wages are not listed in here in part one of this series. However, people ask me, Payman, how about me? I'm a small business owner. I'm in a trade, so I'm in a profession, you know, whether it's computers or construction, you know, retail, some kind of a business, okay? So, you know, what? How about me? Does it apply to me? Yeah, this thing, okay? Because here, we have item number three. Number two, gross income derived from business. That makes you think that, you know, the if you're a small business owner, that it covers you. By the way, our technical issue to somehow, you guys got to fix that problem. People cannot see the audience. The technical issue, why the whole thing is cut off, not from my end. Okay? So, gross income derived from business looks like it is covered. But is it? It looks like it is. But we have to go look inside the labyrinth. It's Internal Revenue Code. Thick booklet, about 10,000 pages and over 100,000 subsections to see the truth, to search the truth. Let's find out. Gross income drawing from business looks like you have to pay tax on what you make for a living. Well, we're going to go and look under one of our favorite IRS code sections, 701 definitions. Let's go do it. Okay? We're going to try, I'm going to try to zoom in a little bit, folks, here so you guys get to see things a little bit better here. Okay? We're going to look 26 space USC 7701 and then house.gov. We're going to hit enter. Okay? So, when we type that in, what does it come? Here is definitions. Okay? Put your mouse on that, what comes up? Right click on that and open that link in a new tab. And here we go again, 26 USC 7701. Okay, here we go. So we're going to zoom in a little bit, folks, so you can see better now. Okay? 7701, definition is a big, big section, okay? So we're going to go down. Here it is, 7701. What does it say? A, when used in this title, where otherwise not otherwise distinctly expressed or manifestly incompatible with the intent thereof. Basically, when used in this title is what really matters, you know? Unless it's clearly otherwise. Right? They define things like person, partnership and partner, right? Corporation, domestic, foreign, fiduciary, stock. Look, they even define terms like United States. We'll come back to it another time, by the way. Or the term state. Okay, they define everything. Secretary of Treasury is defined differently than the term secretary. So we're going to go down to number 26, folks. Come, stay with me. We're going to go down to number 26. Okay. All these things are defined. Okay, 26. Oh, look at that. Trade or business is defined here. Okay. So you're a business owner, you have a business or a trade of some sort. You must be here because it says the term trade or business includes the performances of the functions of a public office. Crazy, isn't it? They define a business as someone that works for the government. That's what public office is. See, when it comes to the language of the law, they can define it whole differently. They can define red as being blue. They can define green as being brown. And that's what you see going on here, folks. The way they define things, folks, it is so deceptive. You didn't know that you, as a business owner, what you make for a living in the IRS code, was not taxable. Let's go back. Remember, the term trade or business, right? Let's go back to section 61. Gross income derived from business. Here it is, folks, 661. Derived from business. That now we know that really means gross income derived from functions of a public office. When you work for the government, when you're a government employee. Now, to further prove the point to you, I mean, the IRS code in every way is written in a way that's consistent. You know, very deceptive the way they put it out to the American people. But let's go look up another section, okay? We'll look up 26 space USC 6331 space house.gov and then hit enter, right? Levy and distrait. Here comes up. Let's put your mouse on the response that comes up from a House of Representatives. Open the link in a new tab. Here we go. Levy and distrait. Okay. And what levy, by the way, is when they take your money. In fact, it tells us this subchapter D is about seizure of property for collection of taxes. So levy basically means forcible. Take it on your property. By the way, as you see, the website says that text contains those laws in effect on March 6, 2018. Hey, it was updated yesterday. We are dealing with updated laws. Okay, let's scroll down. 6331, read it. Here we go. Section 6331, levy and distrait, right? A, authority of secretary, right? Now, bear with me, folks. We're going to read this A section right here. You see it's A? We're going to read that, okay? But we're going to go one sentence. We're going to read this one long sentence, folks, okay? And then we're going to read the other long sentence after that here, the second long sentence. So hang in there with me because it's a little bit convoluted nonsense that's thrown there unnecessarily. If any person liable to any tax neglects or refuses to pay the same, you owe the tax, you don't pay it, right? Within 10 days after notice and demand, after the government gives you notice, hey, you owe money, and demands that you pay it, right? It shall be lawful for the secretary, that's the IRS, to collect such tax. Look into the connection now, okay? Basically what it says, collect such tax, how? By levy upon all property and rights of property, okay? Everything that you got they can take, okay, belonging to such person or on which there is a lien provided in this chapter for the payment of such tax. They can take your stuff. That's what it says, right? Okay. Now, the next sentence is very interesting when you compare that because now it says, rather than saying levy may be made upon accrued salary wages of any person that owes money to the IRS, right? It doesn't say levy may be made upon accrued salary or wages of any person liable to pay any tax. See, the first sentence of the language, any person liable to pay any tax, right? So Congress know what that means. That means anybody liable to pay a tax. But in sentence two, Congress does not use that language on purpose. When they use a different language, obviously it's on purpose. They're not stupid, right? Here they say, let's go, levy may be made upon the accrued salary or wages of any officer, employee, or elected official of the United States, the District of Columbia, or any agency or instrumentality of the United States or the District of Columbia. Look at that. United States government, seat of head of government is in D.C. So if you work for D.C. government or any agency thereof, they can take your money. How? By serving a notice of levy on the employer. Well, that makes sense. You're going to take the wages from the employer that's supposed to pay you. As defined in Section 3401D of such officer, employee, or elected official. Okay? Funny thing, that mention the names of officer, employer, or elected official. I mean, in this country, in America, you have over 300 million people. When the IRS code was written, you know, even back then, we had 100 million people in back then. How many Americans are elected officials? Very few that work for the federal government. Not even 1,000. But they mention that. That means everybody else is excluded. This only applies to people that work for the United States government. They can only take salary and wages of someone that works for the United States government or one of the agencies of the United States government. I know it's shocking, but there it is. By the way, I'll show you later on. This section, 6331, living restraint, he has D, seizure and sale of property, C, successive seizures, D, requirement of notice before levy, other sub, right? You go down, all this F, right? Guess what? When the IRS sells, you look at all this. Look at J, I'm out of the J, K, all these subsections, I, all right? Cross. When they serve a notice levy to the companies to take someone's wages or salaries, IRS prints out this IRS code section and a few of the IRS code sections relating to collection of taxes. But guess what? The IRS deliberately leaves out in section A. For obvious reasons. Because people read A, they say, wait a minute. It doesn't apply to the average person, me. You cannot take my check, the employer. Deliberately leave it out. We'll come back to that. So hang in there. We're going to go now and look up the section 340D. Remember, they defined the word employer. The employer as defined in section 3401D. Now, the word employer, the only place to define it in the code is employer someone that hires an employee. When you go over 3401D, I look up employer, an employer will define who is an employee. Okay? And that's the key. I'm going to show you in just a minute. Let's go look up another code section. 26 space USC space 3401 and then put house.gov after that and hit enter. Here comes again that code section. Put your mouse on the ends. What comes up? Open a link in a new tab. There it is. 26 USC 3401. It's got more definitions. Right? So we're going to go down to D because the word D, 3401D is what we want, right? Here it is, 3401D, definitions of wages, right? Okay. For the purpose of this chapter, the term wages means, you know, all these things. Other than fees paid to a public official for services performed by an employer for his employee for his employer. They keep using the word employer and employee, but they haven't defined it. They will in section D. We covered this probably last week, this section. Let's go down. Congress likes to write laws very long. Here we go. C, employee and employer are defined. Who's employer? For the purposes of this chapter, the term employer means any person for whom an individual performs or performed any service of whatever nature as an employee of such person. Okay? So basically, anybody that performs, an employee that provides any service for employer. Employee is the key term. Who is employee? The interesting part. For the purposes of this chapter, the term employee includes an officer, employee, or elected official of the United States, a state, or any political subdivision thereof, or the District of Columbia, or any agency or instrumentality of any one or more of the foregoing. The term employee also includes an officer of a corporation. So here we go again, folks. It all comes back to elected officials of the United States, a state, political subdivision, government workers, folks. You've got to work for the federal government. By the way, the word state, see the word state here? United States, right? What does those mean? We're going to go back to those terms in just a minute. Let's go back to 7701 that we had earlier, okay? And 7701, see, folks, here it is. We're back to 7701 definitions. The term state and United States are defined. Here it is, United States. The term United States, when used in a geographical sense, includes only the states and the District of Columbia. In fact, even use the word only. But what is the word state, folks? Which is defined next. The term, here we go. The term state shall be construed to include the District of Columbia, where such construction is necessary to carry out the provision of this title. Well, basically, the last part doesn't mean anything, doesn't add anything. It is the first part that matters. The state shall be construed to include the District of Columbia. So when the word state is used in the other section, okay, that we covered the section 3401C here. Anybody who's an employee, includes an officer, employee, or elected official of the United States or state or political subdivision thereof, that is again the same United States. Still is all Washington, D.C. as defined in the code. They can tax the business of a public official, elected official, or someone who works for an agency of the United States government, like the people that work for the IRS. They work for the United States government, an agency of the United States, and they work out of D.C. That's where the headquarters are at. So that IRS employees, you are subject to the federal income tax. And that's why the court provides that your wages and your salaries, IRS workers, can be taken. But that of someone in the private sector or working for a state of Texas or Florida or New York is not covered. Now, you see the matrix, folks, the matrix of lies, the deception. I'm going to show you the deliberate deception by the IRS, as I promised you. Okay, type it on a new browser, livefreenow.org, okay, Freedom Law School's website. Okay, / IRS-notice-of-levy. Okay? And hit enter. Oops, I think I did it wrong somehow. Let me try again, folks. LiftFreeNow.org /IRS-notice-of-levy. Okay. Yeah, I think we got it this time right. Okay, hit enter. There we go. I have for you here on our website. I put it in that Freedom Law School's website. You'll see an actual IRS notice of levy I produced for you. Okay? Now I'm going to, you see here, here's the whole page. Okay, I'll put down, you can see it. Okay, I'm going to zoom in a little bit for you so you can see it a little bit better. Okay, you'll see here on the top left, on the top, it's called itself Top Center Notice of Levy. You see that right there? Notice of Levy on the top side. On the left, top, Internal Revenue Service. Reply to Internal Revenue Service. In this case, you have the Cynthia Boland in St. Louis, Missouri. Name and address of taxpayer on the right side, top right, Linda, whatever. And two, go to the left again, to the employer of the company. In this case, the man incorporated. I've covered up their names, folks, for privacy of them, okay? Now, if you go down below that, they have this chart here. And this chart on the left column, you see, kind of tax 1040, which is fraud, folks. There is no such thing as 1040 tax. Okay, there's nowhere in the code that has anything like that in there as a 1040 tax. Okay, but the fraud the IRS uses is obvious. And then tax period in this case was 12/31/2003. That's December 31, 2003. And on the right, total of $3,100 and change. Bottom right of that bottom total amount due $3,151.41. Right. That's at the front of it, okay? So here at the bottom, you see signature of the service and representative, IRS representative, Cynthia Boland, titled revenue officer. Okay, this is the on the bottom right, IRS form 668-A ICS, okay? And the revised 7-2002. Let's go to the back of this page. Back of this page, there's a small print a little bit. It says in the top center, excerpts from the Internal Revenue Code, okay? On the very top center, excerpts from the Internal Revenue Code. Some parts of the IRS code are listed there. Like on the right top, section 6343, authority to release levy on return property. And 6343A, okay, is there, B, you scroll down, you see that, right? Go down the left side now. Section 6332, surrender of property subject to levy. Subparagraph A, B, you know, C, D, it's all there. You scroll down some more, okay? Now, you go back up, though, to top left of the page, the IRS code section we just read earlier. Section 6331, levy and distraint. Guess what? The A is missing. It starts with B. Seizure and sale of property. C is there. Successive seizures. But A is missing. How convenient of the IRS to not put the very first part of 6331A that shows clearly that they can only take the money lawfully, as written by Congress of the United States, from wages and salaries of someone that works for the U.S. government or one of its agencies. You know, funny thing about that is one time of all these years, I have one time, this person told me, Paymon, I got a notice levy. I looked up the IRS code and gave the IRS employee IRS code section 6331A, and the IRS agent removed the levy. One time. Because that was an honest IRS agent, obviously. What's going on, folks, is a deep state at work. The deep state is the big banks and corporations own the Democratic National Committee and Republican National Committee. They give money to them unlimited amounts. And then these guys pass the money down to the candidates that they like that are whores of the big banks and corporations. The military-industrial complex, media complex, the Zionists, the Wall Street banksters, folks, all these powerful people with money. They give money to the head of these parties, and heads of these parties give them, pass the money down. So when you got two or three or four people running for office within the Republican or Democratic Party, the crook that works for them, whether it's Clinton or Obama or McCain or Romney or Bush, they get elected. They get a bunch of advertise themselves to you as I'm the one to vote for. But the honest and good like Ron, Congressman Ron Paul of Texas, former congressman, or James Traficken, late Congressman James Traficken, or businessman Donald Trump, we don't want you. No, we don't own and control you. You're independent. We got to control you from the top. Remember, Clinton equals Bush. Obama equals McCain. Got it? There's no difference. These mainstream guys are controlled by the same people. Now, they put in place the top level of people in the FBI, U.S. Department of Injustice, the IRS, the National Security Agency, NSA, CIA. These are five heads of the beast, the most powerful agencies. And these career professionals here are these guys. Most of them were working for big corporations or the banks or Wall Street or oil companies or insurance companies. They all work together, folks. They went to Harvard and Yale, Ivy League school together, many of them. They're all interconnected. And these guys protect each other. That's how Clinton was favored to win. That's why they covered up for Clinton. She broke national security laws wholesale in a major way. Not one document, but thousands of top secret emails. She removed from government offices by putting a server in her home. Deliberately, intentionally, knowingly. Yet, the deep state exonerated her. Attorney General Loretta Lynch and James Comey, head of FBI, and all the crooks around them, they all conspired to ignore federal laws and let Clinton go. It's a brazen, clear violation of the law that Clinton did. She even destroyed these devices that she had 13 of them with hammers and bleach bits in violation of a Congress subpoena. Congress ordered Clinton to produce these. Congress. Yet she destroyed them. And the FBI and U.S. Department of Injustice let Clinton go. They didn't go to the grand jury to investigate and indict Clinton. On the other hand, they make up a phony Trump-Russia conspiracy collusion hoax, completely baseless. It's been now over 2 years of a hoax. Still at it. And they do it to the most powerful man in the most powerful position within the United States government, the President of the United States, Donald Trump. And they're getting away with it. Even Trump has not had the balls to fire these guys wholesale. The tops of all his agencies need to be fired. And new leadership from the bottom come up. You're corrupt, you're fired too. Let's get some honesty up here. Let's sell some grand juries of average, ordinary citizens like you, investigate and indict all these crooks, Republican, Democrat. Robert Mueller, who's investigating Donald Trump, he was technically a Republican. How come as a Republican, Mueller is after Trump? Because Mueller is a deep state crook. Just like James Comey was a Republican. Doesn't matter. They're deep state crooks. Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter. They belong to one club. And the club they belong to, folks, is the satanic cult of one world government that from top rules all of us. That's their plan. I mean the word satanic in every sense of the world. God wants every one of us to be free and responsible. Free and responsible. Having peaceful, prosperous, happy lives. But these satanic forces want to control you, and they use lie and deception. And you see it right here. I expose to you how your employer is stealing your money illegally. You work for yourself, small business owner struggling? You think someplace in here you have to pay income tax? I just showed you. You don't. Now, that you're taking a red pill, and I hope you go back. If you haven't listened to four, the previous parts about the subject of Freedom Law School on the subject of why the average American does not have to follow up income tax, you need to go see it now. Now, folks, I'm telling you, it's your God-given conscientious duty. And to share this information with other Americans, isn't it? Start with your family members, then your best friend, other friends, coworkers, email people on your email list, on your Facebook page, social media. Yes, there are a lot of people that are too ignorant, too stupid, too busy having fun, barbecue, drinking, beer on a weekend, and they don't care. Yes, there are people like that. But guess what? There's a lot of people that do care. A lot of people that can think. A lot of people that say, I'm not a slave. I was meant to be born to be free, and I want to be free. And I'm reclaiming my rights by relying upon the law. Remember, folks, we do the same thing that Martin Luther did with the help of Gutenberg Press by showing the language of the Bible to the people. Gutenberg, for the first time, allowed Bible to be produced in masses because you could just print them rather than handwrite the whole doggone Bible by hand. Bible is a very thick book, right? Also, handwriting it takes a long, long time. But by printing it, the masses could read the law for themselves and realize, oh my God, we've been lied to. Now with internet, you can see the law for yourself. So do what you want to do about this in your heart, in your soul. And be a part of this revolution, peaceful revolution, and get this information, this legal information, to everybody you know. Now, we're going to go take your calls, folks, in just a minute. And the number that you got to call, folks, I'm going to give you just a minute. It's 657 area code. Give me a note about the number, please. You guys have to call on Blog Talk Radio, and I'll be happy to answer your questions about the topic of the Freedom Hour tonight or about any freedom issues or challenges you're having. If the IRS, state income tax agency, any government agency is harassing you, wants to take away your rights, your freedom, your money, I'm here to help you understand the law and your rights and the proper procedures to defend yourself and your rights and your property and your freedom. Folks, that's why I started Freedom Law School back in 1996. I was only, at the time, 33 years old. And my goal was, hey, you know what? Everybody should know the law and the rights. I want to make it easy for people to find it and assert the law. So it could be traffic tickets, zoning officials, county, state, doesn't matter. I'll help you with that. Now, when you call, folks, what you gotta do is don't give me your last name, only give me your first name to protect your privacy. If you give me the phone number, please, the calling number, please. Just so I can announce it. So I'm gonna give you guys the calling number, folks, okay? So you guys can call in, and you got to push 1 on your telephone keypad to let me know you have a question. Now, some of you also leave comments on YouTube, and that's fine. Okay, you can do it on YouTube as well, and then we check the YouTube on there, what question you guys are asking there, and we'll take those questions that way as well. You can type it in there, but give us a chance, okay? The number to call for questions, for you to be heard orally about your question is 657-383-1755. I repeat, 657-383-1755. And then push 1 to let us know you have a question, and I'll get your question one at a time. Okay. Now we're going to get your question one at a time. Who we got with question, James, the first person? Call from area code 847 we have right now, looks like. Okay. So call from area code 847, my friend. What you want to do is give me your first name. By the way, you all should get the Freedom Lawson's free freedom education package by signing it up at the front page of our website, livefreenow.org. It'll be mailed to you at our cost, no cost to you. And you're going to get every 2 weeks material emailed to you, okay? So do that. Tell me if you've done that, if you've got our free education package, and then your question. What's your name, my friend? Call for America, 847. I don't hear you, my friend. Could you speak up, please? Okay, looks like we have a connection problem. I don't hear the call of 847 right now. Oh, here we go. Okay, go ahead and speak, my friend. You there? Call of America 847. You're live with Freedom Law School, Freedom Hour. Hello? Okay. The caller, okay. We're going to come back to call from area code 847. We're going to take other calls that we have, other callers. Yeah, we have someone else with another question. What's the next call from area code? 315. Call for miracle 315, my friend. You are live on the Freedom Hour. What is your first name?
Pam.
Yes, ma'am. Pam. Yes,
ma'am.
Hi. Turn the volume down.
I have a question. All right. It's about the IRS. All right. I had to go in front of an audit, and it was just a small review. But she did not have my tax form, and neither did I. So she had to file. She had to go back into the files, and that could take up to a full month. Well, then she wrote me another letter, but the letter was dated for October 8th, and I didn't receive the letter until October 27th. And then, so it was already too late to go to the interview and the audit. So I didn't call, and I just kind of figured they would figure it out for themselves, but they didn't. And then they sent me a tax packet stating that I made $63,000 and some change, and I didn't even make that much. I made like a total of $29,000. And so I'm wondering, what should I do?
Well, what's your first name, by the way?
Pam.
Pam, right? Okay, Pam. First of all, that was a mistake for you to go meet with the IRS. Number two, I don't know what happened that you end up meeting with them in the first place. Why did you even go? You shouldn't meet with the IRS. It's not a good idea. They bamboozle you, you know, about things. I do not have silver bullets that I can offer you in that situation. Okay, I got to see the paperwork of your case. You kind of like calling me, hey, doctor, I have a backache, neck ache, my eyes burn at night, and I have a very square itching on my back, you know, on back of my leg, it doesn't stop. What do I do? Well, the doctor on the phone cannot tell you what to do. You got a specific situation, Pam, okay? The doctor would have to examine you fully, see what's going on, analyze it, and then tell you what to do. Okay? So without no paperwork and detail, I can tell you what to do. What you want to do is you can send up to 10 pages of your paperwork to Freedom Law School. Then I'll try to answer a few for free. If you go to livefreenow.org, at the bottom of our website where it says contact us, you can email us your question with attachment there. But you probably would want to do a paid one-on-one private consultation where I can review all of your paperwork. It could be 100 or 500 pages. Doesn't matter. Or 1,000 pages. I can review it all. I know how to scan through all this stuff quickly and accurately, speak with you about your situation, analyze it, and tell you what you got going on. What is your option A, B, C? What are your costs of each option, risk of success in each option to go forward, and so you know what to do? There's no way I can give you a good answer on this path. Okay, so either way, it's up to you. You can do a conference call, you know, the next Freedom Hour, next Thursday, I can do it with 10 pages only or less, or send for a private one-on-one consultation. I can go over it for you in more detail. Okay? All right. Thank you for calling, Pam. Let's go to the next person with a question we have. All right, James. Okay, 541 area code. Our next caller from record 541. What is your first name, my friend? Donna. Yes, Donna. Yes, that's you, Donna.
Okay.
And do you have a free education package, Donna?
You know, I did click on that, but I don't have it yet. Only the part that came in the email. Right? Is that what you're referring to, or the? There hasn't been enough time for it to show up in the mail yet.
Okay. All right. You did request it, though. Very good, Donna. And how may I be of assistance to you?
Well, both my husband and I have different phone numbers, obviously. But last week he got a phone call that sounded to me like a scam. And a woman's voice came on and told us if we didn't call this phone number, it would... You know, it would be like ignoring a summons to appear before a magistrate, and we're supposed to call his number and talk about our case. And I'm like, because they were basically threatening the tax evasion and I forgot the other words that she used. But I Googled up some of those unusual words, and apparently that same series of calls has been made before, but today I got the same call only with a case number. And I've been a fan of yours for 20 years.
Thank you. Well, Donna, let me help you right here. Let me
tell you,
that's all scam. That's all a fraud. That's a scam by people calling from India and other places. They know Americans are deathly afraid of the IRS, so they do these phony calls. Pretending to be with the IRS, pretending to be with the U.S. government, pretending that there's a case number against you, you're going to be summoned, appear before the court, plead guilty, they're going to take you home, everything, all the threats they make to use your fear of the IRS to get you to give them your credit card number, take some money from them. You can completely ignore these people and go on with your life otherwise. Okay, that's just a scam. And I get this... These calls have been going on for, gosh, at least 10 years that I know of. So don't worry about it.
I think you're right, because the New York Times article looked like it was, I don't know, 5-10 years ago. It was a while ago, but it still came up on Google, so I could recognize the verbiage was just about the same. They haven't changed much, but they apparently are things for them. But one of the reasons it did sort of give me a little bit of a concern enough to pay attention a little more is that I have been a non-filer for probably, I don't know, 20, 25 years. Having learned from people like yourself, going to the freedom thing you do in L.A. Oh, heck, I got some alarm coming up on my phone. I got to go to where the charger is.
Okay, very good. Well, do you have anything else I can help you with, Donna, before I go to the next caller? Any other questions?
No, I just kind of wanted to confirm that verbally and let you know I appreciate that you are still going strong here. And we're going to take advantage of this wake-up call and help my husband kind of catch up. Now that he's retired, he can learn what I learned 20 years ago when we made this decision, or rather I made the decision. we've been non-filers ever since. And just a shout out to say thank you for being there when I was suddenly, okay, why did I do this again? Is this for real? Have they changed their tactics?
Very good.
All right, thank
Bob,
you. I'll let you.
You're welcome.
Go to
my pleasure, Donna. Thank you very much for your question. Okay, let's go to the next person with the question. Next caller, do you have one? That's from area code 847. Call area code 847. You are live with Freedom Law School's Freedom Hour. What is your first name, my friend?
Mike?
Yes, Mike. Do you have a free education package? I'm doing good. Doing good, my friend.
Can I get a freedom packet?
Did you go to our website at livefreenow.org and request one?
No, I will when I'm finished with you. But just a quick question.
Yes.
I'm getting into the roofing and sales, and I'm going to be a subcontractor. And my friend wants to know if you can direct this into a CPA or...
CPA or what?
CPA?
CPA for what?
Because the taxes, we're getting paid checks and we're not taking taxes out.
Okay, hold on. You got an echo there in your system. You need to get off the speakerphone first because that caused echo for you probably. Uh-huh.
Okay.
But folks, you don't want to use speakerphones, by the way, folks. They don't work. Okay, don't use the speakerphone.
Okay.
So you want a CPA. What kind of issue you got? You need an accountant for something?
Well, we need a direction for all that, an accountant. And well, the thing, because I didn't think we were – have to pay income taxes. I haven't paid taxes in over 20 years.
Call for the law school, okay, and I'll put you in touch with anyone. No problem. Okay?
Pardon?
Call Freedom Law School during the daytime from 9 a.m. till 6 p.m., and we'll refer you to a competent accountant to help your problem with your issues. No problem, my friend.
And
okay.
The phone
call us at 813, number is 813-444-4800. 813-444-4800. 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern time zone. Okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Mike. My pleasure. Okay. Do you have anybody else with another question? Okay. Folks, if nobody with any more questions, we'll end the Freedom Hour now. But there's going to be a trial coming up this Monday in Las Vegas that if you're interested to watch what's going on, you can, government's going to be beat in this case, in this tax case. Okay. You want to be there in Las Vegas. Okay. Contact Freedom Law School about William Waller's case. It's going to start Monday. But remember, if you do come, be very respectful. Okay. Don't let your being upset about these lies that you've been exposed to make you upset with the people in the court, the government. They don't know this stuff. The average guy in the government has no idea what's going on out there. They don't know how corrupt the system is. They're just typical American that just wants to go home and a party, drink beer and party the weekend and, you know, spend some time with a girlfriend, boyfriend, do whatever they do. They don't care. You know, they don't know what's going on, you know. So be sure that if you do come, be respectful, contact Freedom Law School if you want to be there. And, folks, I want to thank you for taking your time and listening to this information, folks. Remember to pass this on to people that you know. Become a subscriber to our YouTube channel, okay? And let's get this peaceful revolution going, folks. And get it out there. Wake up the American people and have you be free. Have America be free. By the way, just one thing I got to add. Freedom Law School, folks, does not have any corporate or government sponsorship at all. It's all supported only by you. Only by you. So the only way you can support Freedom Law School, folks, is by going to our website, okay, and check out at livefreedom.org, our website. Let me show you, folks. Okay, I'm going to zoom out of this thing. You go to our website under course packages, okay? When you go under course packages, folks, there, double click on that. You have a variety of courses and course packages that are available for you folks to help you live free. Okay, these are designed to help you live free, folks. Get your freedom back. Educate you. from the all comprehensive Royal Freedom Package that everything's done for you, all responses to IRS letters, summonses, notice deficiency, collection due process, hearings, they want to take your house, property, audits, whatever, tax court, it's all done for you, no extra charge, down to our basic level one course, which teaches you law and your rights that you all should have had in high school, or just simple private one-on-one consultation you need to get help with. Folks, they're all available. You have different options. And folks, it's all made to be affordable to you. Find the one that fits your budget, that you're in your interest. Okay? If you have any questions about them, call us at 813-444-4800, 9 to 6 Eastern Time Zone. Somebody live will answer your questions as best as possible, guide you into whichever course or freedom package is best meets your needs. And that's how you support Freedom Law School, folks, by helping yourself. So it's a win-win arrangement, folks, I want to have. I don't, donations, you can, but I'd rather give you something valuable to you to help you live free now. Okay? If I help you live free now, then guess what? Then I deserve your support. So let's make a win-win thing out of it, folks. Check out what Freedom Law School offers. Let's get the word out to everybody in America, folks, and have you be free and have America be a free country once again. Good night. I'll be back with you next Thursday, March 14th, reporting to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. Good night.